Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what to say. I love you, Giza.
With the players.
Come on, Ryan, the wreck from hell. Final pass.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
Yep. And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another live Hard Rocket Sports Show. I'm not going to go into all the big introductions I do every week. This is a special edition of the show. We were off the air on Thursday night very quickly. Jeff never got on. So we thought we'd do a little show on Sunday night just to catch up on what we missed. So let me get Jeff right on the phone right now. Let me pick him right up before something else happens. And hey, Jefe.
What's up, man?
What's up, brother? How was your day?
You know, Tom, I had a good day.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, I'm afraid to ask why, but I'm gonna go with it. So, Jeff, why did you have a good day?
Well, because the Jets played well today. Mm. You know, they played the Washington Redskins. They played well, but that was not the only reason I had a good day and why I was happy.
Okay. Would you like to enlighten us, or are you keeping it to yourself?
I would love to. I just don't want to go too far into it too much at one time.
Okay.
You know, got to bring it along slowly. You know what I mean?
So, okay. All right. Well, I'll let you decide when and if you want to enlighten.
Oh, I definitely want to say something.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I thought
that it was a great day today simply because the Giants, right?
Uh-huh.
A rookie quarterback, Daniel Jones, first week of the season that he did not have a turnover. And
that's good news.
Juan Barkley had the same amount of yards as he had last week.
Well, that's not necessarily true, but I'll let you have your fun.
He was off by one.
Yes. I'll let you have your fun. Listen, this is a special edition of the show. We didn't get enough chance to get on the air together on Thursday. We had so much to talk about, and we didn't get a chance to get there. And we thought that it would be nice to get on the air and get some of these big topics out of the way before Thursday. Thursday is going to be a busy show. Get ready for the big event Saturday night. I'm kind of pumped up. I'm nervous. I find myself more nervous for this event than anyone we've done so far.
Don't be nervous, man. Don't be nervous. You're good.
I am. I mean, beside the fact that we are going to play, that's always a nail biter for me. I have some new equipment to break in. I'll show you tomorrow at practice. I purchased a new piece of equipment.
Oh, boy. What did you get?
I'll bring it to practice tomorrow night. I'll give you a chance to take a look at it. It is not a new guitar. It's not a new amp, but new equipment nonetheless. And we have a big show, but we're looking forward. We'll do more of that on Thursday. Thursday we're going to have, I think her name is Catherine from the Siller Foundation. We'll be joining Jeff and I at 7 o'clock. John Vento will be on with us for a couple of quick minutes of music talk. And we'll recap all the NFL and a lot of stuff that we didn't get to. You know, Jeff, one thing before we get to some sports tonight, and I want to really get into this on Thursday. you know, I always thought that there was a big rivalry in the Maiden Priest fans. You know, like I always thought like Maiden fans and Priest fans had it, but I never really suspected that the bands had it. But it turns out that Iron Maiden and Judas Priest was a big rivalry back in the 80s.
Yeah, you had said. I did not know that either.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a little something I want to get into on Thursday, and we'll get to that. But Jeff, this I think there's three big stories in sports this week that we didn't get a chance to talk about Thursday. So I would love to get into them. I'm gonna tell you the three stories, and then you'll pick the order. We've got it. We got about 53 minutes to talk about them. So I'll give you the three stories, and I'll let you choose which way we go first. Okay.
Okay.
First one is the allegations by a former player that the Houston Astros cheated their way to the World Series title and continue to cheat today. That's a pretty big story in my book when you start talking about World Series or any winners cheating. I think that's always a big story. So that's one. Two was the absolute disgrace that was Myles Garrett and his fight with Mason Rudolph. And I actually saw some people today. I was out to lunch with my wife, and I was trying to get a guy's name on CBS Sports. He's the black commentator on the pregame show, and I can only read what he was saying. So I really couldn't get the whole gist of it. But it looked like he was saying that Mason Rudolph had a hand in this somehow. So I'm going to find it on YouTube and get it ready for Thursday night. We'll talk about it more then. And, of course, the last big story to me is Colin Kaepernick and his absolute disgrace and sham. He completely embarrassed the NFL. So, Jeff, those are the three big stories right now. Besides what's happening today in the NFL, I'm going to give you the opportunity. You figure out which way do you want to go.
Well, I'll tell you, too, Tom, those are three big stories. And, oh, God, I want to talk about all of them, but there's one of them in particular we have to talk about tonight, and that is the Myles Garrett incident.
That I agree.
The Myles Garrett incident.
Okay.
We're in the midst of football, so I think that we should focus on Myles Garrett and Colin Kaepernick. But let's go with the Myles Garrett incident first, please.
Go for it. Let's go. I'll give you the floor. You start. What was your impression when you saw it after? What was your first impression?
I couldn't believe what I saw. And listen, I understand that football is an emotionally charged game and everything else, but there is no room whatsoever in today's league for a guy that's near 300 pounds to be swinging a helmet, a football helmet that weighs God knows how much at somebody else's head. You know, that should be – I'm surprised he hasn't been picked up for assault yet. If he should have been arrested as soon as he came off the field. He should have been arrested. That is one thing. He should have automatically been suspended for this year just like they did and not allowed back on the field until he's mentally evaluated and cleared to go back and to rejoin his playing career if that is even allowable. I think that was just – I don't know what fueled it. I don't know what led up to that play. I'm just going by what I saw, and I just can't believe that, you know, that he actually did that. But Myles Garrett is the same player, got two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties when the Browns played the Jets a few months ago, and – was the one responsible for breaking Trevor Siemian's leg or ankle, whatever the injury was to him. So evidently he's not exactly a Boy Scout on the football field.
Yeah.
You know, he has a history, but swinging a helmet at somebody else's bare head is taking that to a completely different level.
Oh, I would agree with you, Jeff. And I think what you've seen is a reaction from the players community. I mean, it's one thing for guys like you and me, the casual, the fan, to think it's an outrage. But usually you'll see the current former players kind of protecting the player and making an excuse. But I saw a ton of people come out. And listen, most NFL players will say the same thing. You know, we go at it, but the minute the helmet comes off, you stop because that person now is extremely vulnerable. Now, if you watch the play, Jeff, and I've watched it several times, Garrett hits Mason Rudolph, and I didn't think there was anything wrong with the way he hit him and took him to the ground. He did linger on him and give him a little bit of the business. But you could see Rudolph was reaching and pulling on Myles Garrett's helmet. I guess trying to get his helmet off, didn't get it off. And then somehow his helmet comes off. Now, had he immediately swung it, you'd go, he got caught up in the emotion of it. You go, okay, you know, it's not right. But you can almost kind of go, you know, he picked it up and swung and wasn't thinking. He had it in his hand, Jeff, for 2, 3, 4 seconds before he wound up and swung it. To me, that was blatantly, you can't tell me that it was heat of the moment. The heat of the moment is now out. I thought the NFL did the right thing in suspending him indefinitely. And, you know, I also think that Maurice Pouncey, the center, getting 3-game suspension for punching and kicking him, you know what? I think the NFL should have gave him nothing but a fine. What's your thought?
You know what? I did not – the view that I saw of the mm-hmm. start of the play
yep.
was Myles Garrett wrapping up Mason Rudolph. Okay,
yep.
I didn't see, because if I remember correctly, the view that I saw, they were kind of following the ball, so they were in the lower left-hand frame of,
right.
you know, frame
mm-hmm.
of the picture. So I
yep.
couldn't exactly see what was going on the whole time. Maybe you got a different angle of it. But I seen Myles Garrett pulling the helmet off. Upon pulling the helmet off, you know, first of all, getting somebody's football helmet off isn't all that easy.
No,
so now
not at all.
You just ripped it off this guy's head. Okay,
yep.
that's one thing. Second of all, regardless of how long you swung it, even in the heat of a moment, you know that you're swinging a football helmet because what is a football helmet's got to weigh about 10 pounds, I would think, maybe
would
8 to 10
seven,
pounds.
I would say 7 to 10 pounds. That's what I was going to guess.
Okay, so, you know, you're not exactly swinging a pillow there. And,
yeah.
and what that's why I said earlier, what could have transpired to agitate him to that point? Was Mason Rudolph doing something? Were they constantly going at his face mask or something throughout the game? I don't know. Something had to happen to drive that guy to that point. Now, there's no sticking up for somebody when it comes to an assault on a football field. You know, games like football, hockey, boxing, you know, a few others, MMA, you have to realize that you're doing this within the rules, that you can't just all of a sudden go out of the rules because
yeah.
something happened, somebody hit you that you didn't like it.
Sure.
But, you know, as far as Pouncey goes, no, Pouncey, I would have been appalled if Pouncey or whoever was next to him at the time didn't stick up for their teammate. So
sure.
I feel as though a 3-game suspension is too much. I think that maybe a 1-game suspension for kicking him while he was down, you know, maybe 1 game and a hefty fine, but definitely
right.
not 3 games. I know that
yeah.
there would. I read earlier that there's maybe up to 10 people that get fined, including
mm-hmm.
Mason Rudolph. So he had to do something.
Well,
to this
if you
guy
watch
to
it,
get him
yeah.
to the point.
If you watch it while they're on the ground, Rudolph is actually sticking his hands in his face, and he's trying to. You can see he's trying to get Myles Garrett's helmet off. You can see he makes an attempt or two to try to twist the helmet. It's quick, and it's but you could see it. So I understand why Myles Garrett got upset. I also understand why Rudolph got hit. He got hit. He got driven to the ground, and he was getting the business. So, listen, you want to get up, shove a few times, you know, walk away, I'm okay with it. The minute you reached and you pulled his helmet off, okay, you did it. You know, you returned the favor. He was trying to do it to you. You did it. You get your penalty. But the minute you swing it, that's where it all – that's what – but the – you know, they can't arrest him. It was they actually reached out to some. One of the reporters reached out to the cops, and they said basically, unless Mason Rudolph asks us to file an assault charge, you know, there's really very very little we can do. So I thought that
yeah.
I didn't know what happened, but I got to tell you, this was one time I thought that maybe it was warranted.
I know in the past Marty McSorley had some
yes.
legal problems for hitting yes. somebody over the head with a stick in hockey.
Donald Brashear.
There was another. What's that?
That was Donald Brashear. Yeah, he hit Donald with the chased him down the ice and hit him in the side of the head with a hockey stick. Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a couple other incidents within hockey where a stick was used and they considered it an assault. I think because of the nature of what happened, you know, that maybe an exception should have been made, that the guy should have been taken off the field. I mean, listen, that could have been – think of it this way. You have two teams that are division rivals, okay? I don't even know if they've already played one another this year or not. Not important. So, God forbid, if they got to play a second time, it's going to be bad. Okay, that's one thing. Second of all, you had emotionally charged teams that went off at that moment. Now you have teams, guys from each side coming off their sideline towards the melee.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Then they were worried about the people coming out of the stands and getting involved in this. You know, the AFC North is one of those divisions. That's a pretty smash-mouth division. It has been for years. And Pittsburgh and Cleveland have been in the same division for 1,000 years. So they have history with one another just for the sake of being in the same conference, same division for years, playing one another twice a year. I don't know exactly what their relationship is. Now it's not so good. We know that. But it's just the thought of what could have happened. Could you imagine if that had spilled out from the stands and the riot that could have turned into on the field right then and there?
Oh, absolutely. And the benches clearing. I mean, that could have really been even uglier just for the benches clearing. But you're right. That could have easily turned into a melee in the stands. I mean, that was, you know, like, what do you think the reaction Myles Garrett gets? I mean, his reaction after the game was, I made a mistake, but, you know, we won the game. What do you think the reaction of his teammates was? Do you think it was one of embarrassment? Do you think they took his back? What's your thoughts? I know we don't really know. I'm just curious what you think.
From what I've heard, not too many of his. I know Baker Mayfield spoke out against him, and the guys on ESPN were complaining about that, and they were like, "Well, you should have never have done that in public." It's like, "What do you mean you should never have done that in public? That should be condoned." You know, maybe Mayfield could have turned around and said, "You know what? This is something that we have to discuss as a team. We take this team seriously as a family. This is a family matter, and the family business stays with us behind closed doors." You know, and thank you. I can't really get into this and say anything until we as a team sit down and discuss this. But he spoke out against Myles Garrett for what happened.
And rightfully so. And rightfully so.
And one of the coaches also had something to say about it and was against it. So, what's that?
It's hard not to. I mean, listen, there's no part of it that was a smart thing to do. I mean, I just, you know, you can't actually have the helmet in your hand and think, I'm going to swing this at him and it's going to be okay. The only time I can ever remember this before, I'm hoping you remember, there was a time, I'm going to guess it was in the 80s, when Lyle Alzado did it to one of the Jets, ripped off one of the guy's helmets and was swinging it around. Now, I don't think he ever hit anybody, but that's the only time I can ever remember a player pulling off a helmet and actually swinging at another player.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember that. I remember reading about it. I remember seeing clips of it and everything else. And I mean, and that was at a different time. Lyle Alzado was fucking zooted up on fucking God knows what, shock, testosterone, and God knows what else at the time.
Yeah. You
know, fucking PEDs. That nobody knew what was going on with the men. But this guy was all fucking hopped up on God knows what and just had a meltdown and went off.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the biggest thing now. What do you, Jeff, you're the NFL commissioner. You have to send a message now that this is not condoned. What do you give Myles Garrett that is not overdoing it? Because what you don't want to do is set the precedent too high. But what is it? What would you do if you were the NFL commissioner and had to set a penalty for what happened?
Oh, dude, you know what? I honestly, truly, really believe and feel that he should be suspended for at least this year and next year. he should go into next season suspended. There is no reason why this man is on a field next year. The
I
start
agree.
Of next year, I just I don't
I agree.
Believe it's right.
Yeah, I agree. I my first initial thought was he's got to get a year, which would mean, you know, from week 10 through week 9 next year. But then I said, you know what? Is that enough? Like, to me, I think he should be suspended the rest of this year and all of next year. He should not be allowed to play football next year. That's how serious this is to me. As a football fan, you can throw punches. It's useless. It's a waste of time. But the minute you swing a helmet at a defenseless guy whose helmet you have in your hand, to me, that's just as bad as walking down the street and somebody hitting you, trying to hit your head with a brick. That's just the way I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a good thing. There's nothing that could be justified with all of this. And listen, even if something happens and they don't suspend him for a year, let's just say they don't suspend him for a year. He's got to be heavily fined. And not for nothing, I'll tell you right now, the two men that are going to be weighing in on this, I forget what their names are. I read it this morning because there's so many names that you read all the time in sports stuff. But they're basically the ones that dole out the any kind of punishment. And they've already have been known to turn around and shorten suspensions. They've done it.
Yeah.
They've done it several times in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I got a feeling that they're going to shorten the suspension anyway.
Well, they haven't given him anything yet. Right now, all they've told him is you're suspended indefinitely. At some point, they're going to have to stick a time frame on it. I don't know what that is. So I think we both agree there's no way in the world he plays at any point the rest of this year, correct? Not playoffs, not anything, right?
No, I don't see him playing this year at all.
If he plays this year,
it's a total joke.
Oh, I agree. I think the players themselves, short of his teammates, but the players themselves, I think, would be outraged if he was back on the field this year. Now the question is, how much does he miss next year? Is it a half a season? You know, I think that's the interesting part. If you're Roger Goodell and the NFL team and you want to send a message that this is not going to be tolerated, I think it's got to be a severe penalty. Should he be kicked out of football for good? No, I don't think it's that egregious. But I think missing next year would send a serious message to the NFL that we, our stars included, cannot tolerate that. You know, if you're that serious in the NFL, Jeff, about head injuries and player safety, come on, man. There's nothing more egregious than taking a guy's helmet off and hitting him in the head with it.
Well, how about this? Perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
He ended up being suspended for the rest of this year because he had he had reached a limit of how much that they were going to take from him.
Right.
And so he reached that limit, and they suspended him. Now, Trevor Siemian, I understand that anything could happen at any given time. I understand that it was an accident. It didn't seem like he tried to hurt Trevor Siemian. But I say that you do this. If you want to suspend him for the rest of this year and the playoffs, okay, and then he has to go for some kind of therapy, NFL therapy, whatever, somebody has to pay for this therapy, make sure he goes through it, he goes through all the steps, whatever it is that he takes, and then put him on a probation where, you know what, if you get one more fine, one more unsportsmanlike conduct, you're going to be suspended for one full calendar year, like, you know, 365 days from the day of the incident for 365 days. If it happens again, you're banned for life. You're banned for, you know, that's it. There can be no indefinite suspension. You could come back and apply again, reinstate after a year. Because look at somebody like, what was that receiver's name that started in Cleveland and went to
Josh Gordon?
Josh Gordon. Yeah, I couldn't think of the first name. I knew it was Gordon. He's been suspended how many times indefinitely? Has to apply for reinstatement. And every time he does, they let him back in.
Correct.
You know, so, but this is something completely different. That guy, Gordon, is hurting himself. Myles Garrett could have really seriously hurt more than one person with that helmet. You know what I mean? And he could have started a major, major, major melee in that game. So I think you could suspend him for the rest of the season and the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, that's it. That's a wash. Let him come back in the preseason just so that, you know, he has the benefit of playing in the preseason, but games, he can't play in the preseason games. He could practice, but he can't play in the preseason games. And then once he finishes a mandated treatment, then, you know, tell him, say, you know, one more move, that's it. You get a holding penalty. You're out for the year. We're going to watch everything that you do, every play that you're in, you're under, you know, scrutiny. And if it happens, you're getting one full calendar year. And then when you come back, if we allow you to come back, and if you do it again, that's it. You're banned for life. You can't even apply for reinstatement. And we don't care what the players' union says. You're done. Done. That's it.
Listen, I don't think that's unfair. I really don't. I think that a precedent needs to be set, and a statement needs to be made by the NFL that we're truly serious, and whether it's one of our young rising stars or just an unsigned free agent out of college, you know, who's number 53 on a 53-man roster, that behavior cannot be acceptable. And, you know, I'm happy that the NFL community itself has come out against it. A lot of the former players have come out against it. But truly, the only one who's really going to matter right now would be the NFL. And if they let him play at any point this year, it's a joke. And a real black mark on the league, Jeff. And I think I don't know. How long do you think before you hear it? Like, do they let him stew the rest of the year? This gets done in the off season.
No, actually, they have to do something before next week's games.
Oh, really?
So it's probably gonna, one way or another, a decision will probably come down because they want to. If players have to serve suspensions, if players are going to get fined or whatever that's going to happen, they want to have it in place before next week's games.
Hmm.
That's what I had read earlier on ESPN.
Wow. All right. Hot Rocket Sports, 347-826-9934. Jeff Tominski, Tom Florio on the air here. Special edition Sunday night show. Get ready for this Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30. Back to normal. John Vento and Catherine from Stephen Siller Foundation joins Jeff and I. Plenty to get to next Thursday, and then next Saturday, don't forget, come on down. Nuremberger Beer House. Got so much stuff, Jeff. Tuesday, I'm picking up the guitar from the Old Bridge Militia, signed by Bobby Blitz and Alex Skolnick, Mark Menji, and, of course, Mike Portnoy, Metal Allegiance, and really a great, really nice thing done by the guys from Old Bridge Militia.
Oh, definitely. And my wife has been picking stuff up. Every time I turn around, she tells me, I got this, I got that, I got this. I don't even know how much stuff we got. It's unbelievable. More stuff came today.
Really?
And,
I do know. Yeah, I do know that. Yeah. My wife told me they were conversing as my wife and I were driving this morning. They were texting each other. You know, it's funny. I actually got we had set a kind of a deadline Friday. At least I had done it. I put a deadline and said, guys, after Friday, I got to stop taking stuff in because we got to get set up. And yesterday morning, I got one of our former guests reached out Saturday morning and said, hey, you know, I'm supposed to be sending you some stuff. And I said, listen, I thank you, but I'm going to turn it down because we just, you know, by the time it gets here, we have time to get set up. So, you know, it's unbelievable what your wife and you guys have done over there, getting all these gift certificates and all these different people involved. And, you know, it's really, really a lot of work you guys have done, especially your wife, man. She's really good.
Yeah. You know, I do want to just go on record as saying one thing, you know, is even though my wife has gone out and she does with a lot of these benefits and she does a lot for us and you know, always thank her for everything that she does. A lot of times that she went into some of these places and they gave her a song and dance. And a lot of places were not willing. If every place that was like, yeah, no problem, let's give you something right now. There was places that, like, well, the manager's not here. and, you know, we can't do this right now. Please send us a copy of the flyer, and we'll get back to you, all of this shit. I mean, we were out to eat at one restaurant. They didn't have gift certificates or anything. The restaurant was relatively new. The guy told the girl working to go into the register and take money out of the register, and gave my wife, well, it was only $10. But then again, we were the only people in the restaurant. So this guy actually gave a $10 donation right then and there on the spot, which my wife used to buy things. So that worked out pretty well. But I mean, for the amount of people that she asked, for the amount of people that said no or gave her a song and dance, or one way or another, she walked away from there with nothing. I was kind of shocked.
Yeah, you know what? Well, you know, my wife said it today, and you know, she's surprised if people say no. And I said, you know what? I understand it though. You know, first off, to me, you know, listen, if I was running a business that needed people to come in, if I gave you a $25 or $50 gift certificate, I got to figure when it's all said and done, I'm going to get, you know, let's say somebody gives us a $50 gift certificate to a restaurant. Well, people are going to come in and spend $100 to $150 when they go out to eat, right? So you're going to get that money back, and you're going to get new customers to come in and check your place out. So to me, it's great advertisement. Two, it's good to give back to the community. But they also understand, because these people get probably hit on every day, all day, asking for just what we did. So I don't really care, because that's, to me, doesn't matter. We're, it's our event that I'm worried about. But I can understand when people say no. It does bother me. I'll say that. You know, especially on
an
event.
You know what? You're 100% right. But you know what, Tom? You hit the nail right on the head. So it cost me $50 to make back maybe a couple thousand off of a couple.
Yeah.
I give my restaurant gives this gift certificate to your cause. You win this basket. You come to my restaurant, you and your wife, and you're like, okay, we got a $50 gift certificate, but the bill's $125. Okay, so you're still laying some money out of pocket, but you're like, you know what? The place was great. The place was awesome.
I agree.
And you know, I'm going back, and I'm bringing friends, and they're going back, and you know, so yeah, it does come back to help you. It does. It's free advertising, like you said. Everything you said, 100%. But I mean, to just turn around and say, you know what? Listen. They should just put a sign up in the window then. I'm sorry. We don't give to any charitable causes. You know, we just can't. You know, I went to more than one store looking for donations. And I went to one store. I don't want to say the name of them. And I used to buy a lot of shit from this store. And I figured, you know what? They'll give me a couple things that I want to get. And they were just like, oh, send us the copy of the flyer and then come back next week and this, that, and the other thing. So I tried to send them a copy of the flyer. It never went through. And then I was in there the other day. I had to buy something, and they didn't even say anything to me. Matter of fact, the woman that I talked to me, barely even turned around to say hello. So I was like, wow, you know, that's kind of fucked up. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I'm not – for the money I spent there, if I come in there asking for something, you should be like, yeah, no problem. Take it. Have it.
Yeah. All right, listen, I wholeheartedly agree with that, Jeff. I mean, it's – you know, especially when you see regular customers coming in. I mean, you know, listen, I will never complain. We've been blessed. I mean, we reached out to some major organizations and got gifts. You guys have knocked on local communities over there. We've had friends. Jay Giacio is donating a guitar. Our friends at Old Bridge Militia donated an autographed guitar my wife's picking up, and we're going to have to order to raffle off. You know, we have just there's so many things that have happened, and I feel blessed that, you know, people looked at what you and I are doing with our family and said, hey, we want to help. And listen, you can't do better than that. So I'm happy.
Listen,
looking.
Anything is nice. Anything is nice. I totally understand. But you know what? There's people that we know and have known for a long, long time and said that they were going to have a little something for us and then never delivered. You know what I mean?
Listen,
and it's like a little fucked up
I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. That you know, there's more than a couple of people reached out and said, hey, I'm gonna send you a little something, and never even acknowledge that they said it. That's, you know, people have to live with that. I'm not gonna sit there and out them up. I'm not gonna sit there and go, that person's a jerk off. That's not what I'm going to do. But you're right. We should do it because you know what? You don't make that statement and then not come through with it. But you know, what are you
gonna do? I am going to tell you this because one of the people that we're talking about happens to be a sponsor on the show.
Okay.
Well, let me rephrase that. Was a sponsor on the show. And if they're ever mentioned again, I'm going to call them out on it live. So watch what you say.
I got you.
Let them fade off into obscurity because if they're mentioned, I'm going to bring it up. So, I mean, you all have been warned, and a couple others, they're going to be unmentioned. If, you know, you said you were sending some, you didn't, well, fuck you. And we'll remember that. And, you know, one hand washes the other. So I
said. I agree with you, Jeff, 100%. So, but, all right, listen, we're here Sunday night doing a special little thing. We'll do a lot more Thursday night when it comes to the benefit. Maybe we'll reach out to some of the bands and have some people call in to say hello. I'll talk to you about that off the air. But I think it's, you know, it'll be a good night to kind of really hype it up and have some fun with it. And I'm certainly looking forward to Saturday. I have to tell you, my wife said to me the other day, she said, you know, I said, I'm really nervous about this one. And usually she tells me, oh, what's the big deal? She says, you know what? You should be nervous. This is a big deal. And she's right. She said, there's a lot of people looking at this. And, you know, this is, you know, this is a big one. And I have to tell you, I'm very nervous on this one, Jeff.
No reason to be nervous, Tom. But, I mean, I understand your point. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? We've been the band, the Hard Rock and Sports Band. The one thing that I would have to say is actually went into overdrive, and I was a little nervous, knowing that it wasn't going to work, or thinking it wasn't going to work at first, and then the band straightened itself out, like it always does. So it's going to be even better when we play Saturday. Tomorrow night's our last practice, but I'm not worried. Everybody will settle down. We have a bunch of professionals. People that I would consider professionals on every level coming to play and perform for everybody and to make this event enjoyable for live music and everything. And, I mean, you got Raul Fuentes, who's going to be playing some acoustic numbers followed by American Cover Story, and it's going to kick off with Melissa Oakes doing the national anthem. And then we're going to get a three-piece, maybe a four-piece classic rock band, the 25 Missions, that always delivers, followed by the Hard Rock and Sports Band, and then Naked Jedi, one of the ultimate party bands on Staten Island. And depending on how much they have partied, will dictate how well they're going to play. But you know what? Great guys and huge supporters of the show. So you can't tell them no at all. And it'll just be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun that day. And all of the money's going for a good cause, but more importantly, it's a very family-like atmosphere. You know, we got a lot of people that are coming, and a new location this time for this event. So it's going to be fun, and I'm really looking forward to it, man. I really am.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. Guys, we'll get a lot more into it Thursday night. We got about 20 minutes left to do tonight. I want to get to the next topic that Jeff does. But, yeah, Jeff, I mean, great bands, good people. And so much, it'll be a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, last practice. I hate to say it's the last one for a little while because I really have enjoyed this round. It's gotten better and better each week. So let's we'll deal with it. We've got lots to talk about. We got a big jam coming up in December. Plenty of Hard Rock and Sports. I remember we're on a replay every Saturday morning at Radical Online Radio. And big heads up, guys. There's some changes to Hard Rock and Sports platforms coming up, I'm hoping. And I will keep you updated as the Patriots put the dot the I and cross the T on beating the Philadelphia Eagles in Philly. Can't beat that, so thank God for that. But, Jeff, let's get to Colin Kaepernick. Let's go to Colin Kaepernick. We'll get to the Patriots and the Eagles on Thursday night. You know what, Jeff, here's the thing. You know how I feel. I literally gave away all my Nike stuff because – I could not deal with the fact that these guys backed this arrogant, no talent, and listen, tremendous athlete, no talent, piece of crap. And I think I was justified in my statements because if you see how this thing played out, he completely used the NFL for a publicity campaign to somehow gets another platform to get Nike to give him more money for a new ad campaign or something. Jeff, I don't know how you feel about this, or I think I do from your posts, but to me, this is the ultimate slap in the face by Colin Kaepernick to the NFL.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot going on here that made me really happy. And one of the things that I definitely must say is Stephen A. Smith, okay,
yep.
from ESPN Radio, that went running around, and his exact words were, you ready? If the boy could ball, if he could ball, he's going to have a job in 2 weeks. If he could mm-hmm. ball, he's going to have a job in 2 weeks. There's no reason why they won't call. There's no reason why it won't happen. He's going to have a job in 2 weeks. So that I had to listen to. I couldn't tell you how many times. One, I'm not a Stephen A. Smith fan. I think he's one of the most racist human beings ever to be allowed on radio. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that annoyed me. And then sticking up for Colin Kaepernick, who we've already spoke about how we feel a million times about him, so we're not going to get into that. But, you know, the NFL wanted to give him, and I think the NFL was just like, you know what, whatever brought it about, this is it. This is your chance. We're going to – and some of the teams that actually went there, I do not understand why they were there. I'm seeing if I can get the
– I have my theory.
What's that?
I have a theory. I think the NFL themselves, not forced, I think they were basically begging or asking teams to send a representative down just for the sake of saying, we went down, we took a look, and we chose not to. If nobody showed up to this workout, Jeff, think about how embarrassing it would have been for the NFL. Now, only two or three teams actually showed up, one of them being the Jets because of the change in venue. But there were 24 teams, I think, scheduled to be at the original workout.
Yeah, but you know what, Tom? Here's the thing. Some of the teams that went there did not need a quarterback, and I just could not understand why they were there. Were they given a little bonus? Were they asked to, like, you know, would you please send a representative?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely they were asked to. Absolutely, no doubt in my mind. You're 100% right. What were some of those teams? What were the Giants doing there with a representative? Because the Maris said, we'll send somebody just for the sake of, you know, looking good.
Well, it's not looking good, because you know what? If anything, you look even worse. You look mm-hmm. worse than you ever did before, because this guy's been sitting on the sideline for 3 years. And let's just use a team like the Giants real quick, okay? And all kidding aside. You're talking about a team that struggled last year with Eli Manning at the helm, made a quarterback change this year to Daniel Jones, okay? Everybody knows that Eli, the last time he was in the playoffs is the year he won the Super Bowl. He hasn't really been that good the last couple of years. He's been declining somewhat. So now if the Giants wanted to make a quarterback change and go to an established NFL arm, they could have went and looked, at least brought in Colin Kaepernick. Nobody has brought in Colin Kaepernick, not the Giants, not the Jets, not the Seahawks, not the Buccaneers, not the Titans, hardly nobody. Our Seahawks brought him in for a visit. He never even picked up a football. In 3 years, if this guy was going to play, don't you think that they would have said, okay, you know, come on, lace him up, let's go. Let's see what you got. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Where is the open tryout for that guy Polite that the Jets cut? What about what was his name? He was a safety out of Louisville that the Jets drafted a few years back. Man, his name escapes me. I can't remember his name. But what about all of the players that got cut throughout the years? How come there's not tryouts for them? How come Colin Kaepernick had his own NFL tryout that blew up in everybody's face?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, the NFL, listen, the NFL looks terrible now. You're 100% right. You know, you went out of your way to give this guy a special audition, which I don't know why you would do it. And they said that Goodell wasn't involved. It was some guy under him, some lawyer underneath him who wanted to do this. So, you know, it blew up in their face. But, you know, I get it to a certain extent, Jeff. I understand what the NFL was trying to do. They're trying to say, all right, here it is. Here's your opportunity to show everybody what you want. We're forcing everybody to come down and check you out. At that point, we've done all we can do. To me, the minute the guy shows up, Jeff, with a Kunta Kinte shirt on, I mean, I guess that's his way of saying he's been a slave. You know, his last contract, but by the way, he opted out of the last year of, was $11
yes,
million.
But I have a little background on that. I have a little background on that, too. Just so that you know, because we've had said it on the show, and just want to clear it up, so because we do our diligence here.
Yep.
I was unaware that the 49ers said that they were going to cut him after that contract. So he opted out of that contract and just never got to sign another one. So he would have been cut from that contract anyway.
Right.
Just so that we all know that, you know, like, so we're not reporting the wrong thing. But regardless of whether he was going to be cut, whatever the case is, not important. The bottom line is he did nothing to help his cause other than look stupid. He handled himself dumb. He wears a shirt, Kunta Kinte, in reference to the character from the show Roots that was on, what, 40 years ago, if not more?
78, 77, something like that.
Okay, so you're talking a long time ago that this particular show was on TV. And not only that, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I may be wrong, but I doubt it, Colin Kaepernick... It was adopted by a white couple that was kind of well off.
Yes.
So it wasn't
100%.
Like he was rolling around in the gutter and, you know, just happened to find his way to the NFL. This is a person that he came from a pretty well affluent family. And, you know, like to now, what is the point of wearing a Kunta Kinte shirt?
Well, I'm guessing that. I guess that's to signify that he's been a slave. I mean, what else could you say? I mean, Kunta Kinte was a slave in the Roots thing.
Yes,
I'm guessing that. Yeah, so I'm guessing that he's classifying himself as a guy who was a slave or has been a slave, and I don't get that. You know, first off, Jeff, here's the thing. Let's say you're serious. You're Colin Kaepernick, and you really do want to play the NFL. I don't think he ever does. I think this was nothing more than a way for him to get Nike to show up with a bunch of cameras and film something that they can now pay him a lot of money to put out there. So, but if you're Colin Kaepernick and you want an NFL team to take you seriously and you want them to sign you because you really want to play football, do you think it's smart to show up with a cheat with a shirt that basically says I'm a slave? I mean, does that sound like a guy who even wants to play?
No. Matter of fact, how about this? If you're so hell-bent, okay, on doing the right thing and your cause and all of this other shit, okay, that's understandable. I can understand it. I really could understand it. But you can't turn around and show up with a shirt that says that you're representing a slave. Okay, it's like, what are you? Are you your own man, or are you a slave to this corporate greed, or what? And exactly what is it that you're protesting against? Is it corporate greed? What is it? You're with one of the biggest conglomerates in the United States, in Nike. What's it going to be? What are you? Well, you know what I mean? This started off as a protest of police brutality and everything else. What exactly were you a slave to? Nobody made you come to this. You willingly came. You willingly did this. You know? I don't understand. Please. I would love to ask them, like, what is it that you're trying to prove here?
What is it all about? That's my thing from the beginning, Jeff. Here's the thing. So there's a theory, and it's partly one I completely agree with, that Colin Kaepernick, the year before, I think it was in 2015, was in danger of being cut. He had already basically lost his starting job, and he was already basically in the basically about to be to either be demoted, cut, whatever. And he then decided to do this kneeling campaign, and the 49ers basically got scared and said, "Well, wait, we can't cut this guy now. It'll look like we're cutting him because of, you know, of this protest." So he actually got a chance to stay an extra year. At that point, he couldn't beat out Jeff. Here's a guy who's supposed to be this. If you talk to certain people, the greatest quarterback in the league, he couldn't beat Blaine Gabbert for a starting spot. Couldn't beat Blaine Gabbert, and then again opted out. Regardless of whether the 49ers were going to cut him or not. Anyway, he opted out and could not get another contract. You're whining about getting another contract. You want to play again, supposedly. And then you get this opportunity to audition in front of all 32 teams, have it filmed, sent out to whoever doesn't show up. And you, at the last minute, change the place. You show up with Nike and a film crew, and you decide to wear a shirt that basically says, "I'm a slave." Jeff, tell me where this comes from.
I don't know. That's a good question. Where does he come from? Because he's certainly not making any sense.
Here's the thing. Let me ask you something, Jeff. If you're this devout on a cause, listen, I'll give you a fast example. You and I decided a couple of months back we were going to do this benefit to come up next Saturday, right? We both, you know, I asked you, "Hey, Jeff, you ready?" "Yep. I'd like to do it for this organization." You were like, "Yep, I'm all in." From that point on, we've been all over social media, all over this radio show. We've been on Staten Island Live. We've basically banged the drum for the Stephen Silliff Tunnel to Towers Foundation because we got behind it. We felt this was a great place, a great organization to work with, right?
Yeah,
where's Colin Kaepernick been? Other than a couple Nike ad campaigns, I haven't seen him on any TV shows. I haven't seen him out in the community anywhere. I've not seen it on social media. I've not seen Colin Kaepernick out there beating the drum for whatever it is he's been saying he protested. So what is it that he was trying to accomplish, and did it go away?
No, nothing. I don't think he accomplished anything. Where I just don't understand what it is that he thought was going to happen and everything else. I just don't understand because nothing happened. What did you do? What did you accomplish? Like you said, you haven't been relevant. And now, you know what happened, Tom? He's one of the most relevant people in this country right now as we're sitting here talking.
Because
he was all over ESPN. If you notice, he pulled this shit. I wonder if he would have done this if it was the Tuesday workout, like they have the free agent Tuesdays
mm-hmm.
in the NFL. If it would have been a free agent Tuesday, but it happened on Saturday, the day before all the games. People are going to be watching. People are going to be curious. They're going to say, like, what is going to happen now? What is the next step for Colin Kaepernick? And he's gone. He goes and he goes stupid shit and shows up with a fucking slave shirt. And I don't know. I just, what a fucking retard, man. That's the basic vote. He's a retard.
Listen, I don't understand. Like I said, this could not have been about anything else other than, listen, the NFL does not care whether Colin Kaepernick ever plays in the NFL again. In fact, they probably were referring, it's been quiet since he's gone. But they don't want another lawsuit. They want it to go away. Okay, Colin, let's have an opportunity to give you a showcase. You can show off your arm. You can do, which, by the way, Jeff, I don't care what you tell me. What does it even mean? You're going to go out there in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, throw to a bunch of guys who aren't being covered anybody by a quarterback who isn't even being forced to throw the ball. What are you gaining by that? Just the guy looks good in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt. So to me, it was a waste of time. But I understand why the NFL was doing it. Now,
there was a lot of shit. He also wanted to have his own film crew.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to have his own receivers. You know, it wasn't – if you, after being inactive out of the league for almost 4 years, okay, mm-hmm. wouldn't you want to go out there and say, listen, I want to thank everyone for showing up out here today. I consider this possibly my last chance of getting back in the league. We all believe in something. You know what I believe in. But you know what else? I want to play football. And I'm here to show you what I can do. And go through just like the combines that these draft picks go through. And you know what? You take the chance and you go out there and you fucking go hard. And you try to earn that position with a team. You try to make a team be like, you know what? This guy could help us. He may be better than our current options. But that's not what he did. It's not what he did at all. He destroyed. And Stephen A. said it. He just wants to be a martyr. That's it. And that was another thing, too, that I thought was absolutely fantastic. Watching Stephen A. give that fucking speech where you could see how dejected he was. And when he said he felt it, when he said that Colin Kaepernick wanted to be a martyr, I thought it was great.
Even Jay-Z came out against it, Jeff. Even Jay-Z came out and basically said, I guess the guy doesn't really want to play. I mean, you can't sit there and say you want to play in the NFL and then show up where you're supposed to, move the practice 60 miles away, show up with a Nike crew, film crew, and a Kunta Kinte shirt, and tell me you're interested in playing football. This was just about getting him, anybody who might have been forgetting he's out there, back in it. But I think the NFL community is throwing their hands up, or the players are throwing their hands up. And you're right. When you see a guy like Jay-Z and Stephen A. Smith going, I don't know what the boy's thinking about. It's fun. First off, it's fun. Second of all, you reach bottom.
Oh, listen, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know what else I hope happens too? I hope that people now, Nike, I hope nobody buys their shit. And you know something? I have to say, there was a time where Nike sneakers were the only ones that I would buy. Okay? They were the only ones I would buy only because they were the only ones that fit right. Mm-hmm. So for me to have bought another pair of sneakers, I had to go to the store, drag my wife everywhere, try this, try that, try this, try that, and then find one that was close. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it sucked. It sucked because I went through some fucking sneakers trying to find a pair that would work for me. And, I mean, of course I found a pair because there's God knows how many, but I'm not the only one. Me and you, we're older guys now. We want just a regular sneaker, plain sneaker, nothing special. We don't need memory foam and springs in the heels and all this other shit. We just want a sneaker.
Yeah.
And Nike, I know, made some regular sneakers. Now, they don't have my business. So that means I'm not buying any T-shirts with their logos, no shorts with their logos, nothing. And I know you feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, I gave away or threw away anything I owned with Nike. And I have to be honest with you. I went shopping for sneakers a month or so back. And I had bought the last time, I bought some New Balance, I think it was. I literally could not find anything other than Nike sneakers that I actually liked, and I refused to buy. So I bought another pair of the same exact sneakers I already had because I refused to buy Nike product. Bruce Jenner is your woman of the year and Colin Kaepernick is man of the year, I can't do it no more. We can't do it. I won't support it.
Well, listen, unfortunately in today's world, without getting political, there's always the different stance on everything.
True.
Okay? If you're saying that Bruce Jenner, because I'm not calling him anything else other than Bruce Jenner.
I say anything.
Maybe Mr. Jenner. That's it. Okay? Yeah. Bruce Jenner wins Woman of the Year. That's fucking disgusting. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay? There is no reason for this. There is no reason. What did Colin Kaepernick, because he knelt, where he knelt during the game, during the anthem, in front of the flag, some people said, I've heard them say it's just a piece of cloth. And you're right, it is just a piece of cloth. Just a rag. Just a piece of cloth. It's really no big deal. It's not the symbolism. It's the symbolism, I should say, of what people stand for. And what gives you the right to fucking protest. That flag gives you the right to protest. Okay? That's why you should respect it, because it gives you the right to do whatever you want to do in this country as long as it's legal. And and that's what makes our country unique. You think that you could have done this in front of Saddam Hussein when he was in charge of Iraq? You think you could have done this in front of Muammar Gaddafi when he was in Libya or in North Korea with that little fucking fruitcake? You know what I'm saying? Think of the places that you could never even think of attempting to do that. Except here. You could do it here and then be looked upon as a hero. Makes no sense.
Yeah. Jeff, you're saying 100% right. I agree with you. I've walked away from Nike, but now, you know, what let me ask you this question, and we're already a little after 8. We'll go another minute or two. Jeff, what are the chances at this point that any NFL team that might – and again, the one thing you said before that you were off, the two teams brought Colin Kaepernick in for workouts over the last year or so. One was the Carolina Panthers, and the other one was the Seattle Seahawks. They brought him up, and they were thinking about making him the backup to Russell Wilson, but it never went anywhere. I also think that the Baltimore Ravens toyed with the idea. I don't know if they actually brought him in, but they toyed with the idea.
No, the only team to actually bring him in at all was the Seattle Seahawks, and he didn't even put on a pair of shorts.
Okay.
Maybe other teams thought about it, but he was the only one. Now, could you imagine Cam Newton and fucking fucking moron on the same team? Good God.
Oh, good God, no. But so what's the chance now after this stunt that he ever gets another look?
Let me put it this way. I would probably stand a better chance of putting an ad out on Craigslist offering free brain surgery. Okay, and getting called and actually have somebody say, yeah, please do this procedure for me, than Colin Kaepernick ever does of playing in the NFL. It's over. It is over.
Yeah, I would agree. I can't even, and the fact, I think the biggest problem for him now, though, is, I know that Nike's probably loving this and he's got the shirt on and there, but when you get guys like Jay-Z and Stephen A. Smith now basically turning their back on you. Now, it's going to be interesting, a month or two from now, if they're still going to feel that way. But after Saturday, and after what I read and what you just said, and the backlash, I'm curious if he kind of fades off into obscurity, if those kind of rabble-rousers are not necessarily taking his back anymore and bringing his name up. You were 3 years out of the league, Jeff. You don't hear too many guys, saying that you should be bringing a guy into play who hasn't played for 3 seasons. I don't care how old he is.
Listen, the only people that were saying to bring him in, okay, were people that supported him and thought that he was doing the right thing. There was nobody else that said, you should really, what about Colin Kaepernick? I didn't hear any of the guys on any of the NFL pregame shows, but I didn't see them every week ever say that, Colin Kaepernick is out there. When Andrew Luck retired, nobody said Colin Kaepernick is out there. When Garoppolo went down, even though it would have been signing with his former team, nobody ever said, Colin Kaepernick is out there. When the Jets needed a quarterback, that they had some guy that was, I don't even know whether he was working in AutoZone or smoking weed behind the fucking bleachers of a high school. I don't know what he was doing, but he was started like 3 or 4 games for the Jets. Nobody ever said, Colin Kaepernick is out there. So, not many people have even brought him up. Since he's been out, much less this much time later. So I don't understand what was the point of giving him a free tryout. I don't understand that. What is the point?
Again, Jeff, it's just politics. I think it's politics and it's the PC culture. I think there's so many people who over the last year or two have always, every time a quarterback is hurt or a guy hasn't worked out, Foles right now, or got like Gardner Minshew, and you're like, how does Gardner Minshew have a job and Colin Kaepernick sitting home? Well, Colin Kaepernick was starting on a 2-10 team. He wasn't starting. They thought they had a better chance to win with Blaine Gabbert, and they were paying Colin Kaepernick $11 million, and they still didn't think he could play well enough to start. So I think it got past the fact of people forgetting that he wasn't a very good quarterback. He just wasn't. But I think now you'll start to see less and less people after this stunt bring his name up anymore.
I can't, Tom. First of all, I can't see how anybody is going to bring his name up. Who would want to be connected to that? Who's going to want to say, you know, hey, Tom, I think Colin Kaepernick would be a great guest for this show. Said nobody ever. Okay?
Yeah.
And he's willing. Matter of fact, our executive producer in hiding, Nick, said that he could get Colin Kaepernick and Punky Meadows on the same night. Did you take it?
Well, I have to think about that. Punky Meadows is a big guest. I have to tell you, that's a big one. You know what's funny? I would love the opportunity to talk to Colin Kaepernick, but I also, in the back of my head, go, I would not want to give him. To me, he needs to fade off into obscurity and catch him working at a Burger King in some little town 5 years from now. Like, that would be justice. Well, again, never happened. He's gotten too much money already from the NFL, but to me,
you know,
no,
Tom, I don't think he has as much money as everybody thinks he does. I really don't. Think about this way. For the last 3 years, he's been out of the NFL.
Yeah. Paul. But don't forget, he just, and I want to say it was $10 million, but I'd have to look it up. He did just have a settlement with the NFL over his lawsuit, which I'm sure he got decent money for. And even after giving his lawyers money, I'm sure he pocketed a few dollars. Nike, he's on the Nike payroll, so he's got some money coming out of that. So I don't think he's working at Burger King anytime soon, but it would not bother me to find him a few years from now. But, you know, here's the biggest thing that I argue with the younger fan about is, where is Colin Kaepernick now as a community leader or a person leading the charge in the whatever it is that he was protesting? Well, I could never figure out, is it police brutality? Is it injustice against black people? I could never figure out what exactly his platform is. But how come, other than that, I never see the guy anywhere talking about it?
I don't know, Tom. It's a lot of good questions there, because one, he ruined himself because he did it the wrong way. He went about it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. If you were smart and you handled things in a different manner, you could have had a platform. You could have said all this stuff. You could have done all of this stuff. But he handled himself in a completely wrong way, irritated half the known world. And it is what it is. Now he's doing this stupid shit. It's like, nobody gives a fuck about this. Nobody cares. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's put it this way, Jeff. Your boy Stephen A. Smith is on ESPN TV. He's on radio. He's in print media. And I got to be honest with you, not that I follow Stephen A. Smith, but I would think that in the last couple of years that Stephen A. Smith interviewed Colin Kaepernick, it would have been a big deal. I haven't seen Colin Kaepernick's name in the paper other than the Nike ads from last year at all. So if he's this big community activist, why don't we hear Colin Kaepernick held a rally today in Tupelo, Mississippi? He was in Biloxi, Mississippi last week, and now he's in Tupelo. He's heading to Birmingham, Alabama next week. He's this champion of the oppressed. Where is he? I don't know. That's the part that really, really bothers me. That's why I think this is nothing more than a campaign stunt to keep his name up so Nike keeps giving him a ton of money.
Yeah, but you know something? You're right. It's hard to disagree with all of that, because that's what it certainly seems like.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing: he had once again a chance to make himself look a little bit better. Remember when
Absolutely.
He made the little film for Nike?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember watching the film. And I tried to keep an open mind when I watched the film, because I was like, all right, I know what it's all about going in, but I'm going to keep an open mind and see if he could sway my opinion on any level. And in the beginning, he showed a little something. But then it got retarded, and it's, you know, it made you like, no, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, he could have very easily turned around, came back, and said, you know what, it's time to go out on the field and play again. I really want to do this. I want to get a chance. All I'm looking for is a chance. and he fucked it up. He did not handle it the right way. And you could have even had made yourself look better. Even if you did it in a way that, okay, you know what? I know that I can't play at that level anymore, but they don't know that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go and I'm going to try, okay, you know what? Three teams want to bring me in for a tryout. But you know what? I thought about it. And I'm gracious for the opportunity, and I thank you for the opportunity. But I realize that this is my true calling. But you know what? This moment proved that I could still go to the NFL and play in the NFL. I'm choosing now to walk away and stay a champion to my cause. But this time I want to do it differently because I want to help, not divide.
Mm.
And he couldn't do that either.
Nope.
And like you said, you show up in a Kinta Kinte shirt. Are you fucking stupid? Like, who said to him when he was going out, be like, you know, this is a good idea, bro. I love the shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Even if you come out there and go, they go, well, you know what? He does have, looks like his arm's still good and looks like he can run. The first thing they got to say is, I'm not putting this guy on my sideline. He's already showed up in a Fidel Castro shirt. He wore socks that were, that pigs all over them that represented cops. Now, and he said that he loved the, Cuba's educational system. Wait a second. Now he's got a Kunta Kinte shirt on? I'm not putting this guy on my team. You're out of your mind. So to me, he knew going in he wasn't getting an offer or didn't really want one. Let's be honest. He's 32 years old with a few million dollars in his pocket. Do you really think he even wants to play at this point? No.
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think he would have taken it a lot more serious.
Absolutely.
And did more to help his cause.
Absolutely.
And like I said, think of it this way. I know that you're not a fan of him, okay?
Nope.
And I don't blame him. I'm not a fan of him either. I think the guy's a fucking idiot. But let me ask you something. Suppose he came out, okay, and it certainly seemed as though that he was doing everything he could to get onto an NFL team. Came out, answered questions, told people how he felt. You know, said the right things and everything else, okay? Mm-hmm. Went out and had a very decent, I wouldn't even want to know, like, better than a Ryan Fitzpatrick, almost as good as a Dak Prescott kind of workout, okay? Although in a controlled workout, you really, to me, you're not going to see anything other than maybe how far and how hard he's going to throw the ball.
Correct.
Okay? And say he just turned around and he looked sharp. Would it have changed your perception if he had done it the right way? And still said that he still, I'll stand for the national anthem, but this is how I feel, and I want to donate half of my salary to this cause. Would that have made you feel differently about Colin Kaepernick?
It's possible. You know, hey, Jeff, this country loves to reclamation projects. So, if he comes out and says, listen, whatever I did, the pass is over. I just want to play football. And you know what? Here's the thing. I don't even have a problem with him being an activist. I don't have a problem with him doing his thing. If you feel that there's an injustice in the world, by all means, go out there and voice it. I'm okay with all of that. None of that bothers me. Not during a football game. After the game, do whatever you want. You want to get in the locker room and you want to hold signs up? That's fine. But you don't kneel for the national anthem, and you don't make it about you during an NFL football game. That's supposed to be 3 hours where we just go there and we just, you know, have some fun and watch a game. So, but to answer your question specifically, Jeff, sure. Had he come out and been a little humble and said, listen, whatever, it's over. I just want to play football now. I'll donate some of my money, and whatever I want to do, I'll do off. Yeah, I wouldn't root for the guy, but it wouldn't bother me at that point if he was back in the league and playing for a team. Now, I'll tell you this.
Would you put a Nike product?
That's a great question. I don't think I would. I think I'm done with Nike now for all their bullshit. Would it change my opinion? Maybe. See, you know what I mean? Nike, I will never go back to Nike until Nike honors people who deserve it. When Nike starts honoring players or citizens or whoever that I feel are worthy of being an honor, to be honored the way they do, then I will do it. Now, up till then, when you're honoring Bruce Jenner for cutting his nuts off or Colin Kaepernick for putting on a publicity stunt, I have no interest in and doing that for your product. So I won't. I just won't do it. So.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I do not blame you.
Well, you know, you asked me, but how about you? Would you have felt differently had he done those things? How would you have felt?
No, I wouldn't have felt differently.
Okay.
I would have not felt. What's that?
You basically, at this point, there's nothing he can do to sway you to bring you back to Team Cobb Kaepernick.
No, because the leopard don't change his spots.
Listen, you're 100% right. I would never root for the guy ever again in my entire life. I think the guy's a low-life piece of shit before this. But again, it would have bothered me a little. Again, Eric Reed's in the league. There's other guys in the league that I've had to deal with for years. Again, don't bother me. Do what you got to do. I won't root for your team. I would tell you this. If Colin Kaepernick got back into football after this stunt, if some team actually said, hey, we're going to sign him, boy, I'd have to do a hard, hard look at watching NFL games. Honestly, whether he plays in them or not, I would have to do a hard look. If anybody signed him after wearing that shirt, after screwing the NFL, you know, think about it, Jeff. They had 24 of the 32 teams coming out. They got a whole stadium opened up. They brought in back former coaches to run the workout. They brought players down to run patterns for him. They did everything they wanted to, and the last minute he said, screw you, I'm going to go over here and do my own thing, and if you want to show up, show up. Jeff.
Well, you know what? Listen, those guys that made the decision to go to his workout, they should have said, well, listen, I'm sorry, we didn't bring Uber money, so this is where we are, and this is where we're staying. Okay, we're not going to swap arenas and everything else at last second.
Yeah.
Hey, we came here. This is where we told it was going to be.
Yeah, three teams. No, one of them being the Jets. Three teams, one of them being the Jets, made the trip 60 miles to go to the place where some high school place where he was. That you know, and his biggest bone of contention is that the NFL did not, and I'll give them credit, they did not want the media there. They just wanted him to come down, work out. They were going to film it and send it out to all 32 teams, regardless of whether they showed up or not. But he wanted the media there, specifically Nike, because this is not about playing football. It's about him. Again, think about the ad campaign from Nike when they show up and they're filming him in the Kunta Kinte shirt, running patterns and holding his belief. And then now it's a new one. There's a new sneaker out with Colin Kaepernick on it. Come on, Jeff. I think the NFL got kicked in the ass, and I don't think any NFL will even give consideration to this guy at this point.
Dude, 150%, because like you're saying, all of that stuff has to be taken into consideration. You wanted to bring in your own people to record this, okay? So that right off the bat is going to make a lot of people be like, what the fuck is this all about? Okay, that's one thing right there, okay? Second, if you were that serious, you would think like, you know, okay, this may be my only chance. I'm not going to make people leave here, go there, do this, do that. I'm here, there, here. Let's do this. Let's get it done. Okay? So he didn't. That's not how he conducted himself.
Nope.
And it's just another, like you said, if he used that so that he could get his own sneaker, his own, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you know,
guaranteed.
It was that it was all about that. That there is just too much for me. Because now, even if you make the Colin, okay, or whatever you want to call it, nobody knows what you've done. Because a lot of these kids that would buy this sneaker probably don't remember you in the NFL at that point in time. Or have moved on and don't give a fuck because you're irrelevant.
Yes.
You're irrelevant. You were a Super Bowl quarterback at one point in time in your career. You could have done so much more.
Well, think about it, Jeff.
Really could.
He hasn't played in the NFL for 3 years, which starts to put you're not in anybody's on anybody's tongue other than the occasional person that says why doesn't Colin Kaepernick get a chance? So the NFL does you a solid, says let me put you out in a place, invite all 32 teams down to watch you try out, so that maybe somebody goes, you know what, he's better than my backup. But I bet you if you and I sat down, we couldn't name half the league's backup quarterbacks at this point in time.
Oh, of course not.
Okay. And you then kick us in the nuts and change the location, bring down Nike, wear a shirt that basically says that you're a slave, and then we're supposed to give you a job or think that you were serious about getting a job. Now, this, like I said, this is nothing more than keeping himself relevant and giving Nike the opportunity to film it and say, you know, give him some sort of glory. And it's going to happen. You'll see around the holidays, there'll be a new ad campaign that features Colin Kaepernick based on that workout. Watch, mark my words, and let's see what happens, Jeff. I'm telling you. But no, I don't think he'll be in the league.
You're probably 1,001% right. You probably are. And it's a shame. And
yep.
It really is a shame that
absolutely.
This is how he's going to get his publicity. And,
yeah.
and he did it at sacrificing his career.
Oh, yeah.
Which
oh,
leads,
yeah,
leads
yeah.
me to believe, are you really into your cause?
No. No.
You
know? No. No, if you were, let's think about this, and we got to get off the air, but if you really were interested, Jeff, in a cause, and what bigger stage could you have as a black Super Bowl playing NFL quarterback? Think about it. You're on TV, national TV every week. You can get any, basically any outlet to put you on for 5 seconds and talk about your cause. You had every opportunity. And I tell my kids this all the time. It wasn't the message that turned most people off. It's the way he delivered it. If I give you a message, it could be the worst message in the world. But if I bring it to you the right way, you'll listen. But if you bring it to me, you bring me the best cause in the world the wrong way. I haven't even listened. I won't listen. And you've done nothing. And his message may have been great. And it may have been worthy. But the way he delivered it turned everybody off. And that's why it wasn't about anything other than himself, because you never
yep.
hear about it. So we'll see. I don't know, Jeff. But listen, we've managed to go an hour and 23 minutes on two topics. We could do this all night because there's so much more to talk about. But we have to end this real quick because we're going to be knocked off the air in about 3 minutes or so. I'm lucky we got through this much, Jeff. But listen, brother, I appreciate you jumping on, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, no problem, dude. I mean, Thursday night, listen, due to technical difficulties, we couldn't get on. But I missed our usual Thursday night thing. But
yep.
So it gave us a little taste to hold us over.
Yeah, I'm sure this will come up again on Thursday night, and we'll do it again, and we'll kick it back up. But let's end this show the way we always do, Jeff. No matter what happens, Thursday night, Sunday night, or any other night of the week, we have to end with you know how we end it, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Stage is that moose, you know. And
so when you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
That's right. So we'll see you guys on Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30. Our guest will be Catherine from the Steven Stiller Foundation, and of course John Vento, guitarist, musician. We'll pop in for about 5 or 10 minutes with Jeff and I. We have a new policy on interviews, and other than that, we'll come back Thursday night. We'll tell you all about the weekend coming up, and again, well, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but we're going to leave with the Astros on Thursday night. I want to talk about teams that cheat to get to the World Series. So on behalf of Jeff and myself, Nick Marino, guys, we'll see you Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30. Jeff, you got anything else you want to add with before we go?
Yeah, man. Is this a hard line on
Yes. This is a hard line on interviews. Yes, this is a hard line on interviews. Listen, if a guest wows us with his talking points or they have something they want to get off, I'm all for it. But there's no more interviews running a half hour for people that we're just dragging along like they're the dead horse in a three horse race. You know, I'm not dragging horses across the finish line anymore. So people
wow.
come, they bring that stuff to the table. If the interview's going well and we both feel like it's a score, we stay with it. If it's not, we get them a chance to promote. We say hello, we introduce, and we move on, because there's so much to talk about each week that to me sometimes it drags the show down. And you've been saying it for a long time. I need to get hit in the head with a 2x4, but the 2x4's been hit.
Wow. We're going to have to talk off the air on this one. I need to know what – I think there's more to this one than meets the eye.
There might be, but not too much more. But we'll talk off the air. I'll see you tomorrow night at practice. Guys, come on back Thursday night. We'll have some fun. If you're in the area of Mode Music, Frisian Studios tomorrow night, by all means, come on down and check out the Hard Rock and Sports Band. But if not, Saturday night, come on down Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock at Nuremberg. But, guys, on behalf of Jeff Towinski, Nick Marino, myself, Sam Bone, and everybody here at Hard Rockin' Sports, have a great rest of your night. Have a good week, and we'll see you Thursday night. Hefe, thanks, brother. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, man. Talk to you later.
Later.
Bye.